Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Welcome. You're listening to Sports Econ 101, the show where we discuss sports topics from a business perspective. I'm your host, Edward Brown, along with my co-host, Mike McDowd. At each commercial break, we're going to ask a trivia question. Today's trivia theme is miscellaneous trivia. In the next segment, we're going to introduce a special guest who hadn't been on our show for about 9 years, and he's just as handsome as he was back then, because we're recording this for both audio and video. Mike, you invited him because you happen to know him. Who's going to be our guest in the next segment?
Famous basketball player from the great state of I think he's played for the Boston Celtics. No. Great guy. We've known him for a number of years. Wonderful writer, especially in the San Francisco Bay Area. His name is Dave Albee. He was a longtime columnist for the Marin Independent Journal, all aka the Marin IJ. But the guy's scope of knowledge is vast and wide. He's a heck of a nice guy. He's got a strange accent, but other than that, he's okay.
All right, when we come back also, we will talk a little basketball. We got the Final Four, Auburn, Duke, Houston, and Florida. Kind of curious, the NFL just voted no vote on the tush push. And I thought, you know what, just let them do what they need to do, you know, if you want to. You know, give someone a hand up, right? Just let them do what they need to do. But I thought it was interesting. The overtime rules will now allow each team to have an offensive possession, even if the other team scores a touchdown, which I kind of like. I like that. And then also touchbacks will now go on the 35-yard line versus the 30-yard line. So we should have less boring touchbacks predicted. All right, audience, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. When we come right back, Dave Albee will be with us, and our other co-host, Russ Jackman, will also be with us.
Palio Restaurant's been the premier Italian restaurant serving downtown San Francisco since 1990. Palio features fine Italian fare and a Wine Spectator award-winning wine list, so there's no surprise it's been voted best Italian restaurant in the SF Weekly this year. Palio has consistently been voted one of the best restaurants in San Francisco by San Francisco locals. Palio's been in business for over 30 years and recently went through a complete remodel. Our guests can expect to receive the same excellence in food and service that has sustained us for over 30 years in a brand new and more modern space. Our 250-plus seat restaurant includes seating in four distinct spaces, making social distancing while dining easy in our establishment. All precautions are taken by staff to ensure a safe dining experience. Open Monday through Saturdays. Reservations are recommended. Visit paliosf.com to view our menus and make a reservation today.
voted Best Natural Hot Springs in Calistoga by Travel and Leisure magazine, Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs has been providing wellness, relaxation, and good times since 1952. Rooted in Calistoga's rich history, a new spa garden and outdoor living reveals why Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs is the place to stay. Come visit us in beautiful Calistoga and experience our special mud baths and healing mineral waters. It's no wonder USA Today voted Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs as the best wine country hotel. You won't find a more relaxing time than staying in our exquisite rooms and experiencing the awesome spa temperature mineral springs. Call 707-942-4102 or visit drwilkinson.com. That's drwilkinson.com.
The Elk Cove Inn, voted number one of 77 bed and breakfasts in Mendocino County, invites you to explore one of the most romantic boutique hotels on the Northern California coast. This one-of-a-kind ocean view inn is part bed and breakfast, part homestead and sustainable farm. The Elk Cove Inn goes above and beyond to offer a home away from home experience with unpretentious comfort, complete amenities, beautiful gardens and grounds, breakfast in bed, fine dining experience, and a day spa. Be prepared to relax, unwind, and recharge. Our spectacular ocean view rooms and cottages welcome you with a gift basket, champagne, and delicious breakfast. Enjoy the afternoon with a bonfire, wine, cheese, and games. A favorite for romantic getaways, the Elk Cove Inn is also a popular destination for reunions and business gatherings. Go to elkcoveinn.com for reservations. That's elkcoveinn.com.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown along with Mike McDowd and Russell Jackman and our special guest, sports columnist and author Dave Albee from our hometown here in Marin County. And Mike, you wanted Dave to come on because there's a couple of special things you wanted to go over.
Is that a fact? No, it's true. It's true. First of all, Dave's just a good guy, and he knows the world of sports inside and out. He covered the game for, I'd say, the sports game, as being a writer. I mean, he, not only that, he's got so much knowledge and background, and he's talented. He's gifted. He just came out with a new book, The Last One Out of Town, Turn Out the Lights. I don't know if he stole that title from a Journey song, but it sure sounds like it.
What's that other song? Turn out the lights, the party's over.
Don't Stop Believing.
Yeah. You know, I see some similarities there, but Dave wrote this book, and we welcome Dave. Of course, Dave, as you know, this show goes, I like to say, border to border, coast to coast, and around the world with our U.S. military. So I really want you to talk about your book, because it's almost... it would be akin to, much like the movie Hoosiers, that small town Americana, that love, that allure that people don't. I mean, listen, if you lived in a two-light stoplight town, you'll understand what I'm talking about. So paint the picture. This story, this you covered this high school team, but it's more than a story for you. It really changed your life, didn't it?
It's very personal. And yes, it is. My town, hometown, is a two-stop traffic stop town, by the way. It's Dover, Foxcroft, Maine. If you would look at a map of Maine and put your finger right in the middle of the state, that's where Dover, Foxcroft is. It's near Bangor. But yes, this book was very personal to me. I'm a graduate of Foxcroft Academy in 1972. And they had a real good basketball team coming up. And in 1973, I went to a radio broadcasting school in Boston thinking I was going to become the next Johnny Most. That didn't happen. So I ended up coming home back to Dover, Foxcroft, and went to work to pay off my college loan, went to work at a local A&P grocery store, Atlantic and Pacific. It's basically the Safeway of Maine at the time anyways. So this is a town of about 3,000 people. And I got to know this sports editor came to town. Her name was Ree Miller, and she was the sports editor of the local weekly newspaper, the Piscataquis Observer. And she would come in once a week to get her groceries, and I struck up a conversation with her each week. And it was the beginning of the basketball season, the 1973-74 season. And I know we had a real good basketball team coming. We had a player named Kevin Nelson, who wound up in Dover Foscar from a school consolidation we can talk about later. But I knew they were going to probably have the best basketball team in 20 years. And they opened up the season against Orono, who was the defending state champions. So it was a big game, and I saw her in the store before the game, and I went up to her and I said, "Rhea, are you going to the big game on Saturday night?" And she says, "Well, no, I don't know a lot about basketball." And for whatever reason, I said to her, "Would you like me to go to the game?" So she says, "Sure, go ahead." So I drive down to Orono on a Saturday night, cover the game. On Sunday, I come home. I write out the game story longhand because I didn't have a typewriter, didn't know how to use a typewriter. So I write out the story, game story, on Sunday. On Monday, I turn it into the Piscataquis Observer. And on Tuesday, the editor-publisher of the Piscataquis Observer calls me up on the phone and offers me a full-time job. That's how my sports writing career started.
Voila. It sounds much like the Greats quarterback for the one time, I guess it was the, I want to call him the St. Louis team, the Rams, Kurt Warner. You know, he was bagging groceries and, you know, dreams come true. And, you know, tell us about, again, we speak to a vast audience. So what is the connection of this book to, because if you don't, if you're not, you live in your hometown, right. A lot of people say, so, you know, what's the connection to I guess, Americana, really?
Well, at that time, we're talking about, again, we're talking late 60s, early 70s. And it's not in a small town, any small town, especially in Maine, in the wintertime, basically your entertainment, your whole identity revolves around the local high school basketball team. And that's what it sort of was. And for years, Foxcroft did not have a very good basketball team, didn't have a very good tradition. And the only reason they started getting good was because they had a controversial school district consolidation in 1969. In 1968, Monson Academy won a Maine small school championship, town of about 600 people. And the next year, well, within weeks of winning that state championship, there's this controversial vote to consolidate with Foxcroft Academy. But what that meant was that Monson Academy would have to close its school. And they had a tremendous basketball tradition. Their whole town revolved around that basketball team. That bonded people together. And all of a sudden, they vote, and it was really close, obviously, but the total vote basically voted for the consolidation. So they closed the school, and they bus all the students down to Dover Foscroft, 20 miles away. That's how the whole thing started with this. And the what happened was, the only reason that Foxcroft ended up winning the state championship in 1975 was because of this kid named Kevin Nelson, who grew up in Southeast Monson. And Southeast Monson has a population of about 50. And Kevin ended up being bused down to Dover Foscroft. At the time that they won the state championship in 1968, he was 5'11" as a fifth grader. He grew to be 6'8". He became essentially the Cooper Flag of Maine in that era. I mean, he grew from this, like, you know, again, small town, 50 people in town. He winds up in 1975 being the Maine State Basketball Player of the Year and leads him to an undefeated season. And it's the only state championship, state basketball championship that Foxcroft Academy has ever won in its 200-year history.
You know, I had a friend who was 5'11" and in fifth grade, and he was really good at basketball. He never grew. Never grew past it.
Yeah.
And he was still a very good basketball player, but just unfortunately couldn't do it. You know, it's funny you mentioned about how you get started in sports writing, and I had like my break, so to speak, in radio because I got invited to be a guest on KNBR for a business show, and that's our major sports station in the San Francisco Bay Area, and the guy who had me on liked what I had to say, and he just said, "Hey, I need some help here. Why don't you help co-host it with me?" Okay.
It was a fluke, and again, if I had, what if I said no, or what if she had said no? what if they weren't a good team? I wouldn't have a reason to go to the game. It all sort of stars aligned type thing.
Yeah.
And then I would go from Maine to Colorado to Illinois to California. That was, you know.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. We have about a minute before our break. I was going to ask you, how did you eventually go from Maine all the way west to California, well, where you're at?
My brother was working in Colorado Springs in Fort Carson at the time, and he invited me out there, and I fell in love with the place and wound up deciding that I wanted to go back to school in journalism and get my degree because I'd never had a degree. And wound up with my first wife and I, and she was 6 months pregnant, and our dog, and we packed up behind all of our belongings in a 29-foot U-Haul with our Chevy Vegas station wagon in the back of the U-Haul and drove all the way to Colorado. And I worked for two newspapers in Colorado and then went for a Gannett newspaper in Rockford, Illinois, and transferred out to Marin. That's how I get out here, through a Gannett newspaper.
Wow. Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you guys ready for our first trivia question? This one happens to deal with music, and I'll give you a hint. It's this group was, I'm pretty sure there was in the 1970s. Okay. And just as a reminder, Dave, if you know the answer, don't say anything yet. When we come back from the break, we'll see if you can, because we want to see
in my wheelhouse.
This could be, well, you probably know this. Which musical band popularized the punk genre in the U.S.? And again, the 1970s is when we're talking here. Oh, I see. Question mark on your face. Okay, yeah, you'll know the group when I say it.
I think
it.
I know.
You think you know? Okay, which musical band popularized the punk genre in the U.S.? All right. Email Edward at sportsecon101, the answer to that question. We'll see if the audience knows the answer. Stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. We will be right back.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624, 800-620-1624, 800-620-1624, that's 800-620-1624.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book, and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. One more time, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Mike McDowd, Russell Jackman, and our special guest, Dave Alvey. All right, first trivia question. Which musical band popularized the punk genre in the U.S.?
Now, when you say in the U.S., are they an English band?
You know, that's a good question.
That's
I don't know. It might be.
Are you saying the first American punk band? I guess that's my question.
Let's see what your answer is.
I have in mind.
I'd say the Sex Pistols.
If it was an English band, that's what I would say. Yes.
Okay, so then I'm going to say that I don't think this is an English band.
Okay, then it's the Clash.
I was going to go with the Clash.
No, I think they were before the Clash. There was a movie that I remember. There was a movie, High School something, and these guys were like there was a really cute little girl.
Excuse me, I'm probably wrong. Was it the Ramones?
That's what I was going to guess. Yes.
Good job. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
I think the Sex Pistols predate the.
Did they?
Yeah.
Here's the tough part. When I get these trivia questions, I don't do that much extra checking because I've looked at it, it's like, wait a minute, I know for sure something's wrong. So I go, no, I'm going to throw that one out there. All right. So we are in the studio, the Zoom studio here with Dave Albee, who is now in the North Bay of California.
Yeah.
All right. And whatever happened with Kevin Nelson?
Well, Kevin wound up becoming, he was recruited heavily. Boston College really was heavy on him, wanted him to play. And this is before Boston College was in the formation of the Big East. And Boston College really wanted him. But I think he really wanted to stay closer to home. He was very close with his parents and his brother, who was in my class. And he wound up being actually the very first in-state recruit at the University of Maine to get an athletic scholarship, or excuse me, a basketball scholarship. The first in-state thing. So this was in 1975. He played for Skip Chappelle, who's a legendary basketball coach back in Maine.
Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, did he go past college?
He did not go past college, no. No. Okay. He had a pretty good career. He had a pretty good career at Maine. I think he's one or two still in best field goal percentage in University of Maine history. And he's in the top 10 in rebounding. He scored 1,000 points and had a real good career there, a nice career. And that was a different period of time, because at that period of time in the late 60s, Maine was playing teams like UMass, who had Julius Erving played for UMass. He was playing UConn before UConn became UConn. One of the players who ended up playing for Skip Chappelle at Maine is now an NBA coach. Rick Carlisle started out at the University of Maine, and then Rick transferred from the University of Maine to Virginia and went to the Final Four with Virginia and Ralph Sampson. Rick is now coaching in Indiana, and he and Skip Chappelle are still in constant communication, texting back and forth.
Well, that's fun. Go ahead.
You know, when you think of Dr. James A. Naismith, who invented the great game with the peach basket and everything, Maine often comes to my mind, all the legendary players, which I don't know who that would be. I mean, when you think of college basketball, you think Black Bears. That's what I think.
Yeah.
You know.
It's Black Bears, yeah.
You know, Black Bears have done, I don't know anything, but I got to ask you a question, and it's a good one. How many great college basketball players even come from the state of Maine? Do we have any NBA players? I have no clue.
There's not that many. In fact, that's the phenomenon with Cooper Flagg right now. It's because Cooper's from Newport, Maine, which is about 27 miles from Dover Foxcroft. In fact, Cooper Flagg's grandfather, Dan Bowman, actually played against this Foxcroft Academy team in, that's in the book, the 1975 championship. He played against them in 1973. In 1974, he was a two-time All-Penguins League basketball player at Nokomis. I actually faced him in baseball, Dan Bowman. I think he struck me out because that's pretty much what everybody did who pitched to me in baseball.
When you're making me feel old.
I know, that's the thing. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Yeah.
And their grandfather played, and I go, wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not that much younger than her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was your favorite? Now, Dave, you were very well known. I don't know how well known you are around the country, but mm-hmm. in the Bay Area, you were very well known. What was one of your favorite stories to cover?
Oh, boy. And when I was in the Bay Area, I would say covering Stanford at the Final Four in 1998, which was in San Antonio, ironically. That was one of my favorite things because I had covered the 49ers in the Super Bowl. I had covered the A's and the Giants in the World Series. But the feeling of going to a Final Four is unmatched. And the reason I say that is because a World Series and a Super Bowl are very much corporate minded. And you see it's celebrities being seen and people coming in from out of town. You go to a Final Four, it's basketball people. It's basketball fans. They get their tickets a year in advance and it's all about basketball. I remember sitting at a bar with Kentucky fans and seeing how incredibly passionate they were. But that's sort of the scene it was all around. You go around and all you see is the school colors of the four teams that are in the Final Four. And
They still hate Christian Laettner.
Yes.
And Grant Hill.
That's another thing that's funny about Maine. I don't think Maine was really a Duke fan until Cooper Flagg went to Duke, and now it's like the whole state's wearing blue, you know.
Interesting.
So Dave, 98 Stanford. Who was it? Lopez brothers, Mattson. Who was on that team?
No, that was before them. This is Arthur Lee was the guard. Chris Reams.
Arthur Lee.
Mark Mattson was on that team. Mad Dog, who's now coaching at Cal. Peter Sauer was on that team. Tim Young was a 7-foot center.
You know,
that's a pretty good team. That was Mike Montgomery's team. And that was before Casey Jacobson wound up there.
Yeah, and who didn't love Mark Mattson? Because I remember when he won an NBA championship just a couple years later with the Lakers. I saw this great white Mormon guy dancing like this out on the stage. It cracked me about when I was a sports anchor in the Bay Area. I used that clip and I started dancing with the anchor because Mattson was just notoriously a bad dancer. You love him. You love him. And in fact, Dave, I think it's fair to say that's probably the last really good Stanford team.
Well, that's a pretty good team. Mike, they had a pretty good teams after there. I remember covering them in Birmingham in the section like 2 years later. I think it was Casey Jacobson's freshman year. They went down there and they were the number one seed, but they got shipped to the South. So they're playing in Birmingham, but they got beaten the second round by North Carolina, which was a number eight or number nine seed that year. I think North Carolina went to the Final Four that year as an eight seed or nine seed.
Oh. My son lives in Chapel Hill now, so but he's older. He's past college. But he kind of gets into the North Carolina, ooh, I kind of hate Duke, you know?
Yeah.
Dave, when you talk about high school, college basketball, particularly, really high school and college basketball, there is a love and a lore that's unmatched. The NBA can't touch it. Your book, one of the great all-time movies, Gene Hackman, Hoosiers.
Yep.
Can you draw the comparisons to really bring it home? Because hopefully most of our audience, and if you haven't seen the movie, see the movie Hoosiers, because it really, it's a love affair for basketball. Paint the picture.
Well, you remember the scene in Hoosiers where they were going, it was when they started winning and they were traveling, they were going on the road and you saw the line of cars following the team bus. Down the road, it was like that in Dover Foxcroft. And what happened that year, and actually relates to the title of the book, is there was a custodian in Dover Foxcroft. His name was Neil Johnston, and he was a prankster and also a carpenter. And he got wrapped up with all that was going on with this team. Again, this is the best team they'd had in years. And he decided to make this giant sign, giant plywood sign. And it was probably about 12 feet long and 6 feet deep. And on the sign, he stuck it in the snowbank on the side of the road on the way from Dover Foxcroft to Bangor, where the Eastern Maine tournament was being played that year, and the sign read, "The last one out of town, turn out the lights," which was basically a message to everybody else that was going to the game, because the whole community was behind the team. So they're following the team bus, the school bus, and the band was on the bus, all of the boosters and all the students and all of the parents and all of the fans are just going to Bangor. And it was just an incredible, incredible experience. And I was fortunate after they won the state championship, Mike, to go back on the team bus to Dover Foxcroft from Augusta. They won the state championship on a Friday night. They rented a Greyhound bus to go to the game. So they were coming back from Augusta on Saturday morning after winning the state championship. And they had no idea what to expect. And as soon as they get off the interstate, Interstate 95, which is in Newport, was the exit, which is where Cooper Flagg is from, there were literally already fans with signs cheering them coming off the interstate 27 miles from Dover Foxcroft. And then they go into Corinna, it's a really small town. Then Dexter's a really small town. And all of a sudden, as they've got a police and fire station escort through those small towns all the way to Dover Foxcroft, and they come into Dover Foxcroft, and it's fans are on both sides of the street. They're coming out of it. It's like the scene in Remember the Titans when they won. They were going to the state championship where the fans are coming, literally coming out of the house. And we're talking about in the middle of winter. It had just started snowing when the team bus got there. And they're coming out and waving and cheering. And you go to the gymnasium, and it's packed, and the band's playing there. And just everybody's in such a great mood. And it's such a connectivity to the community with this championship and what it brought to everybody. And now, you know, even talking about it 50 years later,
Isn't it amazing?
Amazing.
Dave, hold on. We got to cut to our break. Okay. Really quickly. Okay. What percent of the human brain is water? Now, if the question was liquid, I'd say mine's formaldehyde, but that doesn't count. Okay. What percent of the human brain is water? Stay with us. Sportsy.
At the heart of San Francisco lies the Axiom Hotel. Located in the heart of Union Square, the Axiom Hotel blends a sense of history with modern touches. Our spacious accommodations are comfortable and created with a soft ambiance, with state-of-the-art amenities such as a core fitness center and in-room espresso and coffee. Guest reviews rave about the staff, as well as how quiet the hotel is, so you can get a good night's sleep and rest up for a day of shopping at the best stores San Francisco has to offer. Just steps from the Powell Street cable car turnaround, the Axiom Hotel is ideal for exploring downtown San Francisco. Check out axiomhotel.com for our specials and vacation packages, and book online today. That's axiomhotel.com, or call 415-392-9466. That's 415-392-9466. The Axiom Hotel San Francisco.
For over 30 years, SF Bay Adventures has been the premier boating event and tour resource for the San Francisco Bay. Their flagship schooner, Free to Be, is an 80-foot sailboat modeled after traditional tall ships, offering the romance of yesteryear with modern amenities. Groups of up to 49 can rent schooner Free to Be for private events such as birthdays, weddings, memorials, and team building. Smaller groups or individuals can also buy tickets to public tours, such as Sunday morning wildlife sales under the Golden Gate Bridge. Visit sfbayadventures.com or email info@sfbayadventures.com to book your adventure.
Tahoe Lakeshore Lodge and Spa provides guests with an all-lakefront hotel in South Lake Tahoe, where every lodge room and condominium has a view of the lake and mountains. Hotel rooms offer lodge pine furnishings, gas fireplace, and a full lake view. Condominiums offer private bedroom, full kitchen, and living area with a fireplace. Guests can relax or play on over 500 feet of private beach and enjoy a dip in the outdoor heated pool and hot tub that are also lakeside. Elements Day Spa, located inside the hotel, offers individual and couples packages with treatments inspired by Tahoe's nature. The Tahoe Lakeshore Lodge and Spa, located close to all South Lake Tahoe summer and winter activities. perfect for individual and group getaways to the lake and mountains. No added resort fees here. Call 800-448-4577 or go to TahoeLakeshoreLodge.com.
Just minutes from LAX, the Lum Hotel offers travelers a comfortable and convenient stay in an exciting neighborhood. Its prime location provides easy access to major attractions such as SoFi Stadium, Hollywood Park, and the future home of the LA Clippers. You'll enjoy a fitness center, resort-style pool, and rooftop bar. The perfect spot for dining after a game, enjoying craft cocktails before a concert, or just having a casual dinner. The Lum Hotel just recently opened, so book your reservations now at lumhotel.com. That's L-U-M. Hotel.com.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown, along with Mike McDowell, Russell Jackman, and Dave Albee, our special guest. Second trivia question: what percent of the human brain is water? We'll give you a range here if you want.
I'll say 80%.
You know what? That's right. It's 73 to 85%.
Yeah, and, right in the middle.
That's right. Darn good there, Russell. Like that.
Okay. Well, so I'm going to take it up 2%.
The body is about 80% water. So why wouldn't the brain be?
Wait, say that again?
The body is about 80% water. So why wouldn't the brain be as well?
Well, like I said, mine's formaldehyde. But okay. So, Dave, let's promote your book. You got a famous book there that you want to.
Yeah. This is what it's called. The Last One Out of Town Turned Out the Lights. So that was the reason that sign was. I talked to about 40 to 50 different people, and I swear to God that pretty much everybody when I started talking about it remembers that sign. So it became the obvious title for the book. I mean, if you go into a bookstore, most books have one, two, or three words. Yeah. My book's got 10 for the title.
So. Yeah. It's sort of like Field of Dreams, too, with the card.
Show that cover again, Dave. Bring that book up one more time. Yeah. Bring it a little closer. There it is. Look at that. That's nice. I like it. Yeah. I mean,
That's Kevin Nelson kneeling on the basketball.
Basketball Americana. You know, that's just like, you cannot recreate those days, you know? That's magic, you know? It's like any one of us playing Little League baseball, you just can't create it.
Oh, hold on. You were trying to ask a question about what.
Yeah, I just want to know, is it available on Amazon and is there an
e-version? Yes, you can get it. Yes, Rush, you can get it on Amazon. The best way, I think, to you can go to this. It's hard to say what bookstore it's in now, but Amazon definitely has. You can actually go to I created a book website for it, www.thelastoneoutoftown.com. If you go on there, it actually has four different places you can buy the book from, and it's got a history of the team, a summary of the book, information about me. It's got about 70 old time photos. If you scroll down, there's a photo gallery with old time photos from the 40s, the 50s, and the 60s, and some of the old time gymnasiums that they played in. And it's a good looking website if you want to go. If you
nostalgia, that the website doesn't have all the whole title, and that would have been
exactly. You like nostalgia, it's there. In fact, the photo of the photo of the sign itself is in that book, in that photo gallery.
Cool.
Fun. Okay, so let's talk. We're coming up to the final four here. By the time the show airs, it'll whittle down. Yeah. Any predictions? Who do you think?
Oh, you're asking me. I've had a good couple of good weeks. Yeah, I think this and Mike, you can jump in on this too. I thought this was some of the easiest brackets to pick. Because it was pretty obvious who the four top teams were to begin with. And I thought Michigan State might get it, squeeze in and beat Auburn. Yeah. That was the only upset I had. I got the other three teams I picked. The thing I like Houston over Duke. I'm a big Cooper Flag fan, but I think it's Houston's year. The Final Four is in San Antonio. I think that counts something with Houston being fairly close by. I had picked Michigan State to be in the championship game. I missed that. Florida Auburn, I think it's going to be incredible. Games are going to be incredible games. I think that's the most exciting thing. We don't have any mismatches here. There's no Cinderellas. It's the four teams that pretty much everybody thought of would be there. That the four, you know, big dogs, the four horses. They're there.
Okay, Russ, who do you think? Because you're a big basketball fan.
I picked Auburn, and I see nothing to deter me from staying with that pick. They look super strong. They've already had tough competition in the previous rounds and handled them pretty easily. And but I think it's going to be Auburn against Duke. I think that usually the best player in college usually gets the finals. Whether they win it or not, that's still to be a question. But I think there's no doubt about it that Cooper Flagg is going to be the number one overall draft pick in the NBA, and he's probably the most talented and most physically able player in college basketball.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll throw my hat in for Florida, just because Mike's from Florida now.
Well, he's not far from Gainesville.
I don't like them, and I'm going to say this, and I like Houston too, but anytime you beat a number two ranked team, Alabama, by 20, I mean, Duke right now is playing the best basketball. I'm sorry, you beat a team by 20. I mean, I did not expect that at all. So I think Duke's got the depth, the talent. But, Kelvin Sampson at Houston.
That's it, Mike.
I think America would like to see them win because we're tired of Duke. It's the same old. It's the blue bloods. It's the same old blue bloods, basically. You know, Florida, Auburn. I mean, look at what Bruce Pearl has done at Auburn. He's made basketball relevant there in football.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's a lot of stories here, but who's going to win this thing? I mean, it's going to be interesting. But these are blue blood teams, in my opinion.
I'm an old time. I'm an old timer, and I'm a Kelvin Sampson fan. So it's you look at the coaches, think which one deserves to win it. And I think Kelvin, we can remember Mike. We go back. He was coached at Washington State when I remember him. He's bounced around the country, but in Houston, this might maybe make up for the five slammer jammer group that didn't win it. He's got a team.
Do we have all four of us think a different team's going to win? Do all four of us think
I've got Houston? I've got Houston winning. We all have four different teams, right?
And you have four. And Edward has Florida. I have Auburn, and Mike has Duke. Someone's going to be wrong, and one of us.
Someone's going to be wrong. Okay. Yeah. Are you guys ready for our silly joke of the week? It's pretty bad. Okay. So a policeman was interviewing three blondes who were training to become detectives. To test their skills in recognizing a suspect, he showed the first blonde a picture for 5 seconds, and then he hides it. This is your suspect. How would you recognize him? The first blonde says, that's easy. We'll catch him fast because he only has one eye. And the policeman says, well, that's because his picture, it's a side profile. Slightly flustered by this response, he flashes the same picture for 5 seconds at the second blonde and asks her, this is your suspect. How would you recognize him? Blonde says, oh, that'd be easy to catch because he only has one ear. Policeman angrily responds, what's the matter with you two? Of course he has one eye and one ear showing because it's a picture of his side profile. Extremely frustrated, he shows a picture to third blonde. This is your suspect. How would you recognize him? He quickly adds, now think hard before you give me a stupid answer. Blonde looks at the picture intently for a moment, says, the suspect wears contact lenses. The policeman is surprised and speechless because he really doesn't know for himself. And he goes back and he says, that's interesting. He goes, hold on, I'm going to go check the file here. Comes back, he says, oh my gosh, that's true. The suspect does wear contact lenses. How are you able to make such an astute observation? That's easy, the blonde replied. He can't wear glasses because he only has one eye and one ear. Oh, man. Oh. I tell you, each week they get a little stupider with the jokes, right?
Yeah. wife is blonde.
Are we okay? Are we okay on time, Edward?
Many years ago.
Yeah, we got a little time. Go ahead.
Hey, Dave, quick question. I keep harping on it, and I don't know. I know Russell's heard me say it, but if you'll notice all these Final Four teams, except for the women's category, not one team is from the West. UCLA women is the only. Yeah. What the heck is happening to, first of all, college football, college basketball? The shift has absolutely gone to the South. It seems like our best players in the West leave. They don't stick around to play in the West any longer. Any quick thoughts on that? Because I'm so, as you know, when you leave California or wherever, they look down on us and say, you boys don't play ball. You're a bunch of blah, blah, blah. And, at one point, the West was the dominant sports collegiate force. Any thoughts on that?
What happened to UCLA?
Yeah.
That's sort of what happened to UCLA. Because it was tilted this way for years when UCLA was winning. And then I think when the Big East started and all of the conferences now are on the power conferences or west or east of the Mississippi. So the whole country's tilted that way now. And that's where they're getting the most publicity. That's where they're getting the most TV. The time zone has a lot to do with it. I really do think that because you know, people aren't going to stay up and watch the West Coast games at 10 o'clock at night back east. So these kids want to get on TV and people want to watch the games on TV and they're going to do it in prime time. That has something to do with it. I got to believe that. Plus, I would imagine there's a lot of money back that way too. That's luring them that way. So,
but the allure of Hollywood, UCLA, USC. You would think so, but it doesn't. It's certainly not translating.
It's definitely from the days of Steve Lavin at UCLA and Pete Carroll at USC.
Yeah,
you know that.
Yeah.
Those are the glamour days. Yeah.
What about the Cal? The Cal Golden Bears, Edward. When's the last time they've had a good team in basketball? Kidd, pretty much.
That was when Ben Braun was coaching the team.
I mean, football.
And if you're going to take football, I'd say Joe Capp.
Well, they had Aaron Rodgers. He's pretty good, too, at Cal.
That's true.
The Bears haven't won a Rose Bowl since, I think, 39, 30, something like that.
That sounds right.
That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. Yeah. I get fired up by it. I grew up as a Cal fan. And then
The Rose Bowl is the only bowl sort of still standing, too, except Big Ten Pac-10 anymore.
I still remember Jim Plunkett when he for Stanford.
Yep.
I think 1970, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And then he got first draft at the Boston Patriots.
Yeah.
What a terrible team that was back then.
Yeah. Yeah, I would screw up with that team.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, Stanford won the Rose Bowl again after that, though, besides Plunkett. They've been there a couple times. Cal hasn't even sniffed a rose petal.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Tyrone Willingham took a team, Stanford team, down to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you look at Oregon, the Ducks. They haven't won a national title despite all that Nike money.
Yeah.
You know, when are they going to win a title? So,
Before we go to break, I just want to add one quick thing here because we are, you know, all Warrior fans. So, holy smokes, Jimmy Butler joins the team and turns the season around, don't you think? I mean, it's what a spark.
I told everybody so. Nobody was listening to me, but I
said the same thing. As soon as they said they were going to get Jimmy Butler, I just said, yeah.
I'm probably in Russ's camp on this. What did they got to lose? Yeah. Sort of the way I approached it is that, you know.
Well,
you're going to get motivated. Choice. You're going to get a motivated player.
Yeah, but think about how he was not the first choice of the Warriors. They went.
Exactly.
Looking for just about everyone else, and they got, quote unquote, stuck with Jimmy Butler. And he's really been, but the thing is, his ability to be effective is directly proportional to the amount of time he can spend on the floor with the A unit. I mean, when Curry is there and when Draymond's there, you know, he really fits in great. But when it's the backup guys and it's Podemski and it's Moses Moody starting, they weren't able to beat some of the weaker teams in when they were back east in Atlanta. And I forgot the other one they dropped, the second one too. But they're going to play Memphis in like half an hour, under half an hour here. So,
all right. Hey, guys, let's get to our last break here. What is the most affordable state to live in?
All right. Most affordable?
The most affordable state to live in.
I think it's
not the state of confusion either. All right.
Oh, darn.
The United States. Huh? They're going to talk about the United States. All right. Stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. We'll be right back with some close. We'll be right back.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D. Gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Last time for today, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Mike McDowell, Russell Jackman, our special guest, Dave Albee. What is the most affordable state to live in? Go ahead, Mike.
South Dakota. Yeah.
No.
I'd say Texas. Nevada?
No, Mississippi.
Oh, okay.
And it just got that much more affordable because they just eliminated their income tax.
Nice.
Not bad. Right, not bad.
I'm moving to Cleveland, right, Mississippi, baby.
Yeah.
Over Dixie State.
We have to go, and you want
you're
going to
give up the ocean, Mike.
Go ahead, Dave. You want to make a comment about the A's before we have to cut out? Go ahead.
Well, it's good to see that Darth Vader took his team up from Oakland to Sacramento when they got get whipped pretty bad last night. I just feel so bad for A's fans. I mean, and then he moves the team. Darth Vader moves the team to Sacramento, and then he starts spending money to take care of the players. Why didn't he do that in Oakland?
Dave, I don't think it's fair to compare him, Fisher, to Darth Vader. Darth Vader was a very successful emperor who was able to conquer planets and build a Death Star. I mean, Fisher can't even build a park in Las Vegas. So,
Okay, guys, here's our thoughts for the day. All right, so being a little older, I am very fortunate to have someone call and check on me every day. He's from India, and he's very concerned about my car warranty. like that. And I'm so sick and tired of my friends who can't handle their alcohol. Last night, they dropped me 3 times while carrying me to my car.
Let's get someone trapped in that package.
That's a good one. All right, audience. All right, audience. Tune in next week to Sports Take Home 101. We're going to be discussing sports topics from a business perspective and asking more trivia questions. Thanks for listening. On behalf of our team, I'm your host, Edward Brown. We'll see you next week.
Great job, Dave.
Adios.
Right. Good job, guys. That was fun.
Yeah.